Great. I'd like to welcome everyone to our conference call. It's the first one for our third learning event in this cycle. I can't believe we're getting there already. So it's RS-101 Recreation and Sport System. And this is one of those learning events. The first two were kind of introductory. This is one where we're going to dig into some of the things that can really help you in the work that you do in your community. So we'll look at the system from a national right down to a local level. And hopefully, I know in the past people have found some great connections to resources for recreation in their communities through this learning event. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting the call from the traditional territory of the Kwinana First Nation and Tongkwaqchen Council. So as I mentioned, this learning event will introduce sort of the mix of groups, relationships, resources, and policies and frameworks and things like that that form our recreation and sport system. When you can understand these parts, it makes it or it improves your ability to access resources or get help for the different things that you might want to need or you might want to do in your community. And as you know, particularly when you're in a smaller community, sometimes everybody knows everybody, but we don't always know everybody who's in the system and who we might be working with. So it can be very helpful to figure this part out. We're going to look at the local, territorial, and national components of the system. We're going to look at the role of the public, not-for-profit, and private sectors. We'll look at the benefit of working with other sectors, and we'll also look a little bit at the TRC calls for action as well. So our agenda today will be like it is on most of our conference calls. We're going to start with some introductions, not too long or anything like that, and then we'll go through some content, and then we'll have some conversations. So welcome. When you introduce yourself, I know you probably will get tired of doing the same introduction, but name, community, and your role is really helpful because it just sort of helps reinforce the community that we do have. And then what I'd like you to do is share something that comes to mind when you think of the word system. And I'll put this in the chat so that you've got something to guide your introduction. So I'll go first, and then the order that we're going to start with, and I will vary it. We'll start with April, and then go to Olivier, and then Igor, Robin, Remy, Breton, and Ketan. And then what I'll do is, as we go around the next time, I'll start with somebody else. So April, you won't be on the spot every time. So April, while you're thinking of your introduction, I'll share mine, and then you can go next. So as you guys know, I'm Caroline. I live in Whitehorse, and I'm your trainer for this learning event. When I think of the word system, I think of something that has a lot of different parts, but there's supposed to be some coordination. So they're supposed to work together, but they don't always work together. So that's what comes to my mind when I think of the word system. So April, over to you.
Hi everyone, my name is April Olusi and I'm the Recreation Director for UCASTO. Also on Youth Council Board, Special Events Board, and previously on DEA Board. And when I think of the word system, I think of a group of people influencing the community in good ways and a good system for the community to follow.
Great. So a group of people, so more than one side of the system, and then some sort of influence and guidance as well. So working both ways. So thanks, April. And then let's go over to Olivier. And you just need to unmute and introduce yourself. I'm not getting any volume from you, Olivier. I can't hear what you're saying. Maybe that's, I have a little exclamation mark, so I don't know if you're. Yeah, still not getting anything. Do you want to work on it? And I'll come back in the circle around to you. Just take a look at your audio connection And if it's not working, you can use the phone number. I'll pop the phone number and you can phone in as well. But if you phone in, you also have to make sure that your computer is muted. So I'll pop that phone number in the chat for you too. Okay, so let's go over to Igor.
Thank you. My name is Igor and I live in Chivilica, in Northwest Territories. And I'm the Reg Director here. And when speaking of system, I can explain briefly that system is a set of things working together as part of a large mechanism. That's the simplest explanation that I can give. Thank you.
Yeah, I like the word mechanism. It makes us think somewhat mechanical in a way, whereas April explained it as people. So two different sort of ways of looking at it. So thanks, Igor. Okay, let's go over to Robin, then Remy, and then Breton. So over to you, Robin.
Hi, I'm Robin. I'm the Rec Director at the Marshfield Community Center, as well as the Royal Mentor for the Yukon Sourdough Rendezvous Festival. When I think of the system, I think of a plan and repetition, being able to take your plan and apply it to several different things, and making that system something that you can rely on and make work.
That's great. So something around repetition and something around, because it's repetitious and it's well thought out, it works on a consistent basis. So thanks for that, Robin. Over to you, Remy, to introduce yourself. And is there something that comes to mind when you hear the word system?
My name is Remy. I'm from Baker Lake. I'm a youth leader for summer camp and winter camp. When I think about the word system, I think of it as a organized thing to keep the community or something going.
Yeah, that's a great way of explaining it. There definitely has to be some organization to that. So thank you very much for that, Remy. We're going to go to Breton and Catan, and then back to Olivier, and then I've got a couple of other phone numbers that have popped in, so I'll just check in with who those are as we come around our circle. So over to you, Breton, to introduce yourself and let us know what comes to mind when you think of the word system.
Hello, everybody. So my name is Breton, and I am located here in Iqaluit, and I am the recreation manager for the city. I guess one thing that comes to mind when I think of the system, I almost visualize like a car engine, all kinds of different pieces working together. And a successful motion to make something work. And if one piece isn't working, sometimes the whole system will shut down.
Yeah, good point. You take one little thing out and it just doesn't work the way it's supposed to. So thanks for that. And that's an important piece to recognize for the sport and or the recreation and sports system too. So take one little piece out, like people or money, and we have a big problem. So thanks, Breton. Catan, over to you to introduce yourself and share what comes to mind when you think of the word system. I can't hear you yet, so you just have to unmute. There should be a button. Sometimes you can use your space bar, or I might be able to unmute you too. There you go. Oh, here, let me try. Okay, it doesn't seem to be unmuting for you, does it? Okay, what you can do, if you have access to the chat, that's another option for people, is to pop something in the chat, just hi, I'm Catan, and then we can work on your, so if you can see the chat, there's a little button at the bottom of the screen, and otherwise let me know in the chat when you, I can see sort of that you're muted. So we'll see if we can figure that out. So I've got two more people that joined the call. 819, is that you, Juliana? 819-5. Hi, would you like to introduce yourself? And what we're doing as part of our introduction is sharing what comes to mind when we hear the word system.
Yeah. Yes, So my name is Judena Shialo, and I work at the Municipality of Cambridge Bay in Nunavut, working with Olivier, the recreation coordinator, and the rest of the recreation team to design and deliver the recreation and cultural programs there. When I think about systems in general, maybe just different independent parts that we work together for something to get them.
Yeah, so all the independent parts working together. Thanks, Juliana. Nice to hear your voice again today. I also have a 867-445 phone number showing up. Is that somebody from CarMax or is that Daniel? I'm trying to figure it out. Just wondering who has the 445-0933 phone number. Okay, Olivier, is it working for you to chat, or are you still troubleshooting?
Hello, I can hear you.
Go ahead, Olivier, I can hear you.
Calling from the screen.
I can't see you on the screen, but I can hear you. Not now. Okay. Let me just try one more thing. So who has the 445-0933 phone number?
It's me.
Okay. Okay, I'm getting lots of feedback from that. So that, are you saying that's you, Olivier?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, so I just muted the phone number because the phone number and the computer together aren't working. They're giving us some feedback. So if it's not working for you, that's okay. Just pop some things in the chat for now, and then we'll try it for our next round. So Katan has introduced herself. She said that she's a volunteer. She's in Mendenhall, which is just west of Whitehorse, by about a 45-minute drive, and she's a volunteer recreation coordinator. So they don't even have a paid position there. And Katan says systems make her happy. Repeatable, predictable support framework. So thank you for that, Katan. And we will try with you and Olivier with the sound as we come back around next time. So what we're going to do now is we are going to, after we've done our introduction, and thank you for that, as you can sort of see, systems are part of our daily lives. Systems can have many different parts, and those parts are supposed to work together. So sometimes there are things that we put into place, and other times, as April and Remy mentioned, they're people that are, make up the system. So lots of different components to a system. And slides 6 and 7 give you an example of that if you happen to have the slideshow open. So slides 6 and 7 show you that the parts are supposed to work together in a coordinated way. But as Breton pointed out, they don't always work like that. And that's because many of our systems like justice or healthcare are quite complex. So there's a lot of different pieces. Even on slide 6, I've popped in a slide of how a local food system works. And that's from down south, so you can imagine how much more complicated that would be for in our northern communities. So I'd like you to recognize that the recreation and sports system is something that we call an open system. And I'll explain what that means. And so with an open system, it works or sometimes doesn't because of the relationship between all the different parts of that system. So same as the car engine, right? If something breaks, things in the system don't work properly. In our recreation and sports system, the parts might include people, policies, organizations, resources, infrastructure. So even April was mentioning not being able to put the ice in. So in a community recreation system, not being able to put the ice in, if you're the recreation director, all of a sudden you have to figure out, you know, that's going to be late. So what do you do with the time that people expect to have access to ice when they don't have it? So there's an example right there of something that might change how the system works locally. If you think about the pandemic that went on for 2-3 years and has that we're slowly come out of, but there's still implications from it, there were different policies that changed the way our recreation system was working. The pandemic was an event that happened outside of our system, so it was external to the recreation and sports system, but we had to react, and it influenced how we did things. So program numbers changed, program shut down. We had to start doing more cleaning. There were lots of different things with the policies that came about as a result of the pandemic that influenced our recreation system. And some of those influences are still there today. So this week, I encourage you to take the time to learn a bit more about the recreation and sports system. Activity 1 encourages you to do a little bit of reading and look at some different resources about it. And when you start to understand a little bit better how the system works, you're better able to access the parts of the system that can help you do the work that you want to do. So I'm going to pose another question here, and we're going to go around. And this time, I'm going to put Robin on the spot to start, rather than April. So it's not always the same person on the spot to start. So we're going to skip a couple of people. We'll start with Robin and Remy, Breton, Catan, Juliana, April, Olivier, and Igor. And remember that if you're not quite sure how to answer, listening is just as good as speaking. Listening is a really important way to learn. So please don't feel like you have to say anything. Introductions are great. But as we go through the questions, if you want to think about it, if you want us to come back to you, or if you want to type something in the chat instead of speaking, that's okay too. So we're going to take a moment to consider the ways in which our changes inside our system and changes outside our system affect how it works. So I want you to think first, I'll give you an example first, and then we'll put the question in there. So think of the local food system that I showed on slide 6. So things that might influence the system could be policies like pricing on food, pricing caps on healthy food, gas prices for sure if you have to freight or truck the groceries or the food somewhere, weather patterns, major weather events affect the food system, the pandemic, unemployment, underemployment, people not wanting to work in something anymore. There's lots of things that affect the food system. So let's now look at what are some of the things that affect the recreation and sports system. And I'd like to ask you to just give one thing so that you don't, sometimes the first person might have lots of ideas, but it's nice to leave a few for the next people. So it doesn't have to be a long answer. You can share one thing in about 10 seconds or less, or you can type into the chat. So Robin, what's something that from your experience or that you can think of that might affect our recreation and sports system?
I think the economy and the amount of disposable income people have is a big thing, as well as like how much money the government has to expend towards recreation.
Yeah, so I'm just going to write down the first thing you said there was the economy, which is big, but within that, there was a couple of different things. So one of them is disposable income, right? So how much money people actually have to spend on recreation and sport, and where it's how they choose to spend that. So thanks, Robin. Let's go to Remy. Remy, if you can think of the recreation and sport system, even in your community, what's one thing that affects it?
I would say the funding and not being able to find any volunteer workers unless they're paid.
Yeah, so money for sure that's being allocated to recreation and sport, whether it's inside your community, whether it's from your territory, or whether it's from the federal government. Funding is a big, huge factor that influences how those systems work. And you did mention a second one that's a very important factor as well, as is volunteers maybe not being willing to volunteer, so people. Thanks, Remy. Bretton, how about yourself? From your experiences, what's something that might affect how the recreation and sport system works?
Sorry, was that going to me there? I just had someone knock on my door.
Are you good to answer? I can hear you. Just something that affects the recreation and sport system? Yeah.
I think sometimes maybe the lack of facilities or the availability of facilities. I know for us here in Cal, we only have one baseball diamond, and it's really busy during the summer. A lot of people kind of can't get the usage out of it that they want. It's one example.
Great. So the facilities that we actually have, maybe how many, but also what state of repair they might be in, because one of our communities in the Yukon right now, both its pool and its curling rink have been shut down for like 4 or 5 years because they're not in good repair and they're too expensive to repair. So, you know, that you might have the facilities, but if they're not in working order, it doesn't help either. So thanks, Bretton. And Katan popped in the chat on relationships within the community. Sometimes people have grievances that prevent or impact events. Most definitely, I'm sure you can all relate to that statement, that the relationships that people have, or the 20 years ago this happened and that's why I won't work with this person, I suppose takes the things definitely affect how our recreation and sports system works. So thank you, Katan. Juliana, how about yourself? Can you think of something that affects the recreation and sports system? And I did mute you, so I don't know if you want me to unmute you or if you can unmute yourself.
Hello? Can you hear?
Hi, I can hear you now.
Now can you hear? Yeah, but definitely infrastructure and funding plays a huge role in how recreation works in our community. But I will include the culture as well. I think that everybody there, we're still trying to figure out and transition between maybe people living there. What is recreation for them are different from the way that their parents or grandparents they used to do, or from the ideas of people that are coming and bringing from different cultures or perspective of people from the outside coming to town. So I think we're still at a
job. Yeah, so that's a really good point, is that, you know, that funding and everything like that can definitely influence things, but also culture might dictate that you do things differently as far as recreation, but the system, the bigger system, the policies, the way the funding is delivered might not reflect the culture and the type of recreation that you want in a community. So that can be challenging too. So thank you for that, Juliana. April, over to you. What do you, in your experience, of what affects the recreation and sports system?
I think qualified workers, so and coaches. For those, we have to fly out of Uluwatu to get, you know, qualification to teach this sort of sport or work at the youth center or the gym, you know, like the recreation facilities. And in order to learn more, I think that flying out of the community to do these courses to learn new things is a bit much sometimes. So it's pretty hard for the community of Uluwatu to find workers.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, that those qualifications and the certifications that we might expect or look for people to have. Aquatics is a really good example of one that the pandemic really influenced. A lot of people weren't able to recertify their certifications for running pools or teaching swimming lessons or things like that. And so now there's a huge shortage of qualified people all the way across the country. So thanks for pointing that out. Sorry, go ahead, April.
Small communities too, that we don't have like any swimming pools or, you know, weight rooms or anything like that. So that lack of like recreation facilities for these sports.
Yeah, and it can be something as simple as just knowing how to, you know, coach a sport, right? There's some basic skills involved with that. So there's a wide range of training, and sometimes people don't want to lead activities if they don't feel like they know how to. So there's, even if it's not like having certifications, there's still some training in place for people to take the initiative to lead programs and activities. So thank you. Olivier, do you want to try, I think your phone number is the 4451, so I'm going to try unmuting it and let's see if we can hear you.
Hello?
Hi, I can hear you now. That's great.
Okay. Yeah, I would say lack of funding and facility. That's the main, anyway, here in Cambridge Bay, I think if we have more facility, it will be better.
Okay, so funding and facilities. So kind of what other people have said, so influence the way you deliver recreation. Thanks for that. Okay, so now I know which one's your phone number, so that works great. So it's very clear now, so thank you. And then let's go to Igor. I haven't forgotten you, so let's go to Igor. What are some of the things that affect the recreation and sports system from your experience?
Thank you. I would say lack of inclusivity and cultural norms. That's for me a big one that can influence the recreation system in our country. Also what April mentioned about the people who are not trained properly, I would say adequate human resources, but those ones who lead the system, not those ones who are deeply involved in it on a lower level, but on a higher level. And also I can say that location and isolation of some parts of our country also impacts our recreation system. And also the last one, I would say the general familiarity with the importance of physical activity is also, to me, one of the, if people and everyone is more familiar how important it is, I think it will change a lot of things without within our system. Excuse me. Thank you.
Thanks, Igor. And I just wanted to pull out something that you said that I think is quite interesting because it ties into what other people said, and it's about physical activity. So you'll notice that in 2018, the federal government created a Let's Get Moving. It's a common vision for increasing physical activity and reducing sedentary behavior. So the interesting thing once that came out in the system is now our system is focused on recreation that is physically active. So then what happens is things like sewing and cooking and things that are also considered recreation and perhaps culture, people start to think, well, we can't get funding for those things because they're not physically active recreation. They still might be recreation. So you can see how shifts in one area influence what happens somewhere else. So thanks for raising that, Igor. As I mentioned then, you know, so our systems then are also affected by their structure. So the structure of the sport system and the recreation system, which I'm introducing together here, are actually quite different. So I'd like to explain that to you because for those of you who might have worked in one and not the other, it's quite an important distinction. So I'll just try and explain it, and then if you have any questions, put up your hand or raise or flash at me or something like that, you have a question or jump in. So recreation across our country is actually a local responsibility. So that means governments at all levels see that recreation is a municipal, hamlet, community level responsibility. Whether you're unincorporated community like Mendenhall or whether you're a larger municipality like Iqaluit. So because of that, because we're in the north and we're territories rather than provinces, we do get some support from our territorial governments for recreation at the local level. But very little for recreation comes down from the federal government. Yes, there's transfer payments from the federal government to the territorial government to the communities, but a lot of the federal support is around facilities. So often you can get capital funding for building facilities, but nothing else for recreation. Now flip around and let's think about sports. So sport is directed by the Canadian Sport Policy, which the third one is under renew and it should be released soon. It falls under Heritage Canada in the federal government. So sport has a place in the federal government system. So for sport, the direction is more top-down, with funding coming from Heritage Canada to provinces and territories, and from there, hopefully, it filters out to clubs or things that happen in your community. So really big difference to understand how sport and recreation works. And the reason you want to understand that is because if you're looking for money, you might be looking in different ways if you're doing something for recreation or sport. Now, if you're doing recreational sport, that's different too. So you might be able to tap into both systems. Does anyone have any questions about that difference between recreation and sport? You can either pop in the chat if you do, or you can just jump in. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit more content, and then I'm going to ask you another question. So activity number one and the required learning activity this week that's due on Sunday invite you to learn a bit more about the internal, so inside and outside factors that influence the recreation and sports system. So I'm just going to touch on some of the public documents that sort of guide our system. So we've already introduced the framework for recreation in Canada that was created in 2015. And that's the guiding document for public recreation providers, so not private, mostly public and nonprofit in Canada. And it offers an opportunity to work together in ways that enables all Canadians to enjoy recreation and outdoor experiences in environments that are both physically and socially supportive. So as we saw in our first learning event, RF101, there's 5 goals for the framework, and there's priority actions for each one. So important to recognize that the framework doesn't tell us what we have to do. It just shares things that are important and invites us to consider how we can carry it out in our communities in ways that work for our communities so that we can get to the benefits of recreation for physical health, mental health, social well-being, the economy, things like that. Stemming from that, in 2018, Parks for All was created, and it's an action plan for the Canadian parks community, and it was supported by CPRA, which is the Canadian Parks and Recreation Association, and the Canadian Parks Council. So Parks for All aligns with one of the framework's goals, the framework for recreation, specifically goal number 3. And then I just mentioned the common vision for increasing physical activity and reducing sedentary living. Now that's a national document. It was created by the Public Health Agency of Canada, so not even that's a health document, but it influences both the sport and the recreation system. And it's what I would call a policy document. So it focuses on physical activity and its relationship to sport, recreation, health, education, things like that. And it offers a collective approach to physical activity and to increasing physical activity. The reason I say it's a policy document is that it doesn't have actually much funding attached to it. Sometimes they put out funding sources that encourage people to do things, but it doesn't say you have to do this or here's some money to make this happen. A difference is the Canadian sport policy. So that is definitely more rooted in the way the government works. And our current policy should have expired in 2022, but because of COVID, they're pretty late renewing it. It's still not out. I keep hearing it'll be out by the end of 2023, but we're getting close. So, and it sets a direction for governments, institutions, and organizations to make sure that sport has a positive impact on the lives of Canadians, our communities, and countries. And so that sort of directs funding down to the national sport governing bodies, and which then flows to your provincial territorial ones, like Hockey Yukon, for example, or things like that. And then they are supposed to support sport at a local level. Most provinces and territories have some type of document that aligns with those big national ones. So those of you in Nunavut, make sure you take the time to become familiar with Nunavut's Sport, Physical Activity, and Recreation Framework. It's linked in the Explore More section at the bottom, and it's one of the newer documents, and it shows you how big priorities can be aligned with local values. So it's actually grounded in Inuit society values, so it makes that connection, the culture that Juliana mentioned. And it reflects the priorities that people, groups, and communities from across Nunavut shared. And it also reflects priorities of youth. The NWT, for those of you in NWT, they just released last week an announcement in legislature about a sports physical activity and recreation plan for NWT. I have a feeling it didn't get as much attention as they thought it would because of the fires, but they had to get it passed through initially, or else with a new government it would start all over again. So I'll let you know when I hear updates on that for those of you in NWT. If you're in the Yukon, we have the Yukon Active Living Strategy that covers physical activity and recreation, and we also have a Yukon Sport Action Plan. And those are older and hopefully will get updated in the next 3 to 5 years. So I'm just checking the time here. I just want to ask quickly, I'm going to go around, and you can either pop an answer to this question in the chat. You can choose not to answer it and just reflect on it, or you can say your answer out. So I've got two questions. I'm just wondering, if you think about all those documents, and I gave you a lot of information, is there a question that you have about them? Is there something you'd like me to answer? Or is there a way that you can see already that one influences what you do for work? So I'm not going to put April or Robin on the spot. I'm going to jump forward. Breton, are you okay if I put you on the spot first? And again, you're more than welcome to pass if you can't, if you don't have a question or an answer in response to one of these. So Breton, I see you're muted. So if you're able to unmute, do you have a question about any of those documents that you'd like me to answer, or is there a way that one influences your work in recreation?
I think I'm actually just going to pass on this one and think about that for a few minutes, maybe just pop something in the chat.
Great. And have you found the Nunavut Sport Physical Activity and Recreation Framework?
Yes, I have. I have had no issues accessing that, so I got that.
Excellent. I just wanted to check that with you. Thanks. Okay, and then we're going to go to Katran, Juliana, April, Olivier, Igor, Robin, and Remy. So I know I'm putting some of you on the spot because you're kind of new to this, so you're more than welcome to pass, ask a question, or make a comment. Katran, did you want to try unmuting and see if the sound's working?
Yeah, I got it figured out, I think. You can hear me?
Okay.
I'm new to all the policies and frameworks and everything, so just trying to wrap my head around all of the ones that are available. But so far when I read them, there's not really anything that seems out of the ordinary or unexpected. So I see how they all kind of work together, and I'm just looking forward to getting to know them a bit better over the months ahead.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. And it's always a process. Sometimes things happen in the work that I'm doing, and I go back to those documents. They're particularly helpful if you're asking for money, because you can point out to the government what their priorities are, and they like funding things that are a priority for them. So thanks for that, Katan. Before I go to Juliana, Remy, no worries if you can't hear so well. That's totally okay. I'll make sure that when we come around to the end of this conversation, I'll send you some links to take a look at and point out where to find those documents. Juliana, I'd like to invite you, if you wanted to unmute, and if you have any either questions or things that you think the ways in which they influence the work you do, or if you prefer to just pass, it's up to you.
No questions at the, at this point.
Thanks, Juliana. Okay, and April, over to you. Do you have any questions about all of those? That was a lot of information. Any questions or anything that you see how they might help you in your work, or do you just want to keep reflecting and listen? Yeah, I kind of threw a lot of information at you within like 5 to 10 minutes. I totally get it. I might rethink these questions next time around, so thank you. Olivier, I'm going to unmute your phone, and maybe you can let me know if you have any questions or if you can see how these might work for you in Cambridge Bay.
No, I don't have any questions, and I'm going to pass.
Okay, and are you familiar with, or have you had a look at the Nunavut Sport Physical Activity and Recreation Framework?
Yeah, I look at it a little bit, and I have it in front of me now.
Okay, what I will do is I'm going to pop the link for that, too, in the chat for Remy as well, so let me, I'll just copy that. There we go. Great. Okay, thanks, Olivier. And then over to Igor. Igor, any questions that you have about these documents or any thoughts about how one or several of them might support what you do for work?
Yes, I do have a question. I would say the most important thing, in my opinion, and the question to everyone in this country is how we can emphasize the importance of physical literacy, because that is the foundation of active lifestyle. So how we can emphasize that people should be familiar with that and go from there, because without that, I think many things will be much, much harder. Thank you.
Thanks. So I'm just going to take a moment to answer that question. Igor is talking about physical literacy, and some people find that term, actually some people find any term related to literacy challenging, but physical literacy, what it means is that people develop as they're growing and over the lifespan the ability to use their body and move their body in different situations and to do so confidently. So imagine, look at maybe a child in your community and imagine that they put on a pair of skates for the first time, or they go swimming for the first time, or they slide on a toboggan down a hill for the first time. Those types of activities require sort of a different sensation of your body and also skills like balance and sometimes tumbling and jumping and throwing, all those basic skills that we put together when we move in different recreational and sport activities are what we call physical literacy. So where you actually find that reference to physical literacy is usually in the sport document. But there's also an element of it because it does overlap with recreation. And one of the ways that we can help children become more physically literate is to make sure that we don't put them into structured programs too early, that we give them lots of opportunities to play outside, to run, to jump, to climb, to swim, to slide. So play, which is goal number three, and particularly play outdoors, is a really important way that in recreation we can encourage physical literacy. So thanks for that. That was not in my scripted notes, but I think it's important because that helps you understand the link between what you do and some of these different documents. Thanks, Igor. Robin, I noticed you popped in the chat, so I'm going to just take a look. You said you'd like some feedback on how these documents increase cultural inclusivity without targeting minorities, so you don't want people to feel tokenized. So, and I think your comment applies to the Yukon and specifically the Yukon around Whitehorse. So maybe we can chat about that after, and you may be interested to go and look at the Nunavut framework and see how that's positioned differently, because when that was developed, it was really rooted in Inuit societal values, which are very different to what you put here, our old white people. So thanks for that comment, Robin, and maybe we can chat a little bit more about that afterwards. And welcome, Melanie. We're just coming towards the end of the call, so you're welcome to listen in. And Remy says that she's passed on that one, too. So I just want to have one more conversation with you. We've got not a lot of time left, but so far I think we've had a really productive conversation, lots for you to think about. So the other thing that comes to my mind, and this is on slide 11, I think, is more the external influences on the recreation and sports system, one of which I mentioned already is the pandemic, and another which is the TRC calls to action, so the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's calls to action, which are specifically related to sport. There's not a mention of recreation, but I think sometimes we can look at other ones, like ones related to children and things like that, and see how they might apply to us. So slides 11 and 12 introduce the call to action related to sport, and you can read those on slide 12. They're about telling the stories of Indigenous athletes, supporting the North American Indigenous Games, which some of you will be familiar with, and which we will talk a lot more about in our last learning event in May. There's an old Physical Activity and Sport Act, so making sure that any policy is also inclusive, and also making sure that when we're doing sporting events on traditional territories, that local protocols are respected. So those are some of the calls to action. So what I'd like you to comment on, and again, this is a big question, so if you don't have anything that comes to mind, that's totally okay. You can also pop it in the chat. And Juliana, I'm going to put you on the spot to start our round this time, so it's kind of starting at the end of our circle. And Juliana, the question for you is, what do you do or could you do in the work you do to respond to these calls to action? So I'm wondering if there's anything that you do in your work in recreation that could help you respond to the calls to action related to sport. So I'll just start with Juliana, and then we'll go April, Olivier, Igor. So any thoughts, Juliana? Okay, and I can't hear Juliana right now, so can we go to April? April, do you have any thoughts about how, and it might be an odd question for you in Lahokduk, because I know you don't have some of the sport resources, but is there anything that you can do or might do to respond to the calls to action?
Not at the moment.
Yeah, it's hard to think from a recreation perspective, I think. So I do have a couple of suggestions, but we'll just go around and see what other people think. Olivier, how about yourself? I'll unmute your phone. Any thoughts about how you could respond to these the CRC call to action related to sport?
No, I can't think of anything now.
Okay. And it's okay if you can't think about anything now because I'm getting you to think about it, right? So that's the whole point of asking hard questions sometimes is you might walk away and be a little confused or not sure. And then, you know, maybe a week or 2 weeks from now, you go, oh, so totally okay if you don't have an answer. Robin, how about you? Any thoughts about how you could respond to the calls for action related to sport?
I think, yeah, sort of my question from the last question is kind of relating to that. Like, we definitely do our land acknowledgements and stuff anytime there's somebody who's announcing something for anything. We're actually right beside Kwanlin Dunland, and we use a little bit for our ski trails. And so we have some signs up there which acknowledge, like, and thank the Kwanlin Dunland for allowing us to use that part of their land for our trails. But other than that, like, it's really hard because we don't have a lot of representation in the community. So I try to do all I can to acknowledge it without trivializing it or tokenizing.
Yeah, that's a good point. And a lot of it depends on your community and what you do and your role and your own. Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Robin, for that. Remy, any thoughts for yourself about, you know, these five calls to action, and is there anything that you can do to respond to them?
I'm not sure right now.
Okay, and can I jump in? Because I know you work with youth, right, and you work in summer camp. So, Remy, I'm just wondering, do you ever have the chance to encourage people to go to the North American Indigenous Games or try out for Team Nunavut when they go to those games?
I play basketball, but I don't really talk to anyone else that travel for sports.
Yeah, so one of the things, and it's okay not to be sure how to do this, hard in small communities, like in a community like Iqaluit, Yellowknife, or Whitehorse, it's easier to, there's more people, it's easier to get them out and doing things. But in some of the small communities with the North American Indigenous Games, they really encourage young people, like youth, children and youth, to try out things like Arctic sports and Dena games. And I know that RPAN, who you might have worked with, Remy, in the past, I don't know if they do it anymore, has done sort of activities around Arctic sports. So that might be one way. It's a little roundabout, but it's just a suggestion for you to think about, you know, can you put any Arctic sports into your summer camp?
Yeah. We have, like, during summer camp, we have summer day camp challenge. It's, like, every week, but during Fridays, and one of them is in
that's great. So that's a link. So that's a really good example you're introducing to those activities. So thank you for sharing that. Breton, how about yourself? Any thoughts about how you can respond to the calls to action?
Not at the moment. Again, I think it's just another one I have to think about a little bit more.
Yeah, Remy mentioned Inuit Sports Arctic Games. That's in the Nunavut Sport Physical Activity and Recreation Framework. So there might be ways for you in the city of Iqaluit to work with a sport governing body that definitely has capacity issues to do Arctic Sport Inuit Games. So that might be an opportunity. Thanks, Breton. Katran, over to you. Any thoughts about how you might respond to these calls to action? I know they're pretty far removed, perhaps, from Mendenhall, but just wondering if you wanted to comment.
Yeah, I'm not focusing on those quite yet. We're just going to work on the on what we need to get accomplished to get some things moving. So
yeah,
it's just about, I want to grow in that direction. To grow in that direction is great, but it's definitely not on the table yet.
One step at a time, and Melanie may share the same as you. So coming back to what I just mentioned to Remy, for those of you who, you know, you're working in recreation, you're in a community, you're kind of overwhelmed, just know that encouraging kids in communities outside of our main communities of White Forest, Yellowknife, and Iqaluit to participate in Arctic Winter Games, which are coming up, or North American Indigenous Games, which won't be until 2027, I believe, is the next one. You know, just opening their eyes, because sometimes there's a real imbalance. It's kids from the big centers that get to go on the teams and not the ones from the other communities. So I think in recreation, that's something that you can do. It doesn't mean you have to run programs. It just means that awareness that's an opportunity for kids to participate. So thank you so much. That was some hard questions for you today. Hopefully some questions that you will be able to continue to reflect on. Next week, we're going to spend some time exploring, rather than the national and territorial, we're going to look at public, private, and community or nonprofit parts in our recreation and sports system. And I'd like you to see, I have a challenge for you before our next conference call, is to try and do activity number 4. It's a Jeopardy game. So don't worry if you don't know the answers. It's supposed to make learning a little bit more fun. Igor, I'll come to your question in just a moment if you put your hand up. So you do have a required learning activity that's due on Sunday. It's based on participating today. It shouldn't be too hard to do. It's described on slide 14. But I would like you to look ahead to your second RLA, the one that's due in a week and a half. And you might want to start working on it this week. You actually have to go and choose a part of the system. So there's a document that's online. So the faster you go into that document and choose which one you want to do, because once somebody's chosen it, two people can't choose the same thing. So let me just, we're at the end of our call. So if anyone wants more information about that, I'll stay on the call afterwards. So when you click the link in the RLA, the second one, Activity 6, it will take you to a document and choose a part of the system with your name beside it. And then I'll explain more, or you can read more. So this wraps up our first conference call. I'm going to stop the recording, and if you have any questions, just stay on afterwards. I'm open to questions. And Wanashish, which is thank you in Southern Tichone. And have a great week, and I look forward to reading your required learning activities and chatting with you next week.